Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast with tips, tricks, and coaching discussion for all cyclists. Whether you're a beginner, whether you're a weekend club rider, or whether you're a longtime racer, we've got something for everybody. I'm your host, Coach Rob, and we've got a great show for you today. So sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy. Riding in the rain. As most of you have seen probably from watching the Giro d'Italia for the last couple of weeks, and those of you who are in the Northeast and in the Midwest and actually pretty much all over the country have noted that the rain lately has been absolutely, absolutely brutal to deal with. It's been very tough to get out and ride on anything that's even remotely resembling dry pavement, and that leads us to have to take some precautions and think about a few special things that we need to deal with when we're riding in the rain in order to make ourselves safer, more comfortable, and you know, pretty much to prevent injury and misery and all that kind of stuff. So today we're gonna go through a little bit of the information and some of the tips and tricks necessary for riding in the rain. But first, I'd like to go through a little bit of housekeeping, just like I always do. As always, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please go over to iTunes. Please rate this podcast. It is particularly helpful to me when I can hear that and see that people are interested in the information I'm giving out, and people are motivated and enjoy listening to what I'm producing. It makes me feel like I should produce this stuff a little bit more often, as often as I possibly can, considering, you know, what my schedule is looking like these days. But please go ahead over to iTunes and please go ahead and rate this podcast if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Other places, if you want to find it, you can find me on Stitcher, on Podbean, on Blueberry. And of course, you can find this, which you're probably listening to it. You may or may not be listening to it on the website, tailwind-coaching.com. You can get a hold of me on Facebook at the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. You can email me, coachrobdc@gmail.com. In terms of training and coaching, for those of you who are looking for one-on-one coaching for the summer, I've been in contact with a couple of you. I don't have anything firmly committed yet, so I still have a few slots available. If you are interested in that, please send me an email. Again, coachrobdc@gmail.com. Give me a couple days to get back to you, because I don't always get back to emails on the same day. I do get a fair amount of email that I have to go through, but I do always return emails to people. Okay, so if you're looking for consults or coaching, go ahead and send me the email and we'll get a hold of that. Next up, as I mentioned last week, I have been working on a Century module for my modular training plan. That Century module is just about finished. It is in the final raw stages. I just have to do some polishing work on it, and it will be ready for release, and hopefully will be released in the next week to 10 days. I would expect that it will probably come out over the Memorial Day weekend. That would be my guess. As my schedule is looking right now, I have a little bit of free time. I should be able to finish that up, polish it up, and get it up for purchase. What it's going to be is going to be 12 weeks of training, and it's going to be a fully standalone module that you can use to get yourself ready for any kind of century or any kind of long ride. The modular system, the modular nomenclature anyway, means that if you really want to be well prepared to ride a very fast century, talk about a 4.5 to 5 hour century, you can add further modules to that. You can add the base module before it. You can add the build module before it. You can add the peak module to the end of it. You could add the climbing module somewhere in between, like weeks, I'm remembering it correctly, somewhere in between like weeks 8, 9, 10. You can probably add a few extra weeks of climbing training in there from the climbing module. All right, so look for that in the next 7 to 10 days. I'll probably put a post up on the website, tailwind-coaching.com, when that becomes a live download. Now, speaking of modular training, you have 4 days left to take 15% off of any and all of my modular training plans using the code JIRO2013JIRO2013 at checkout. You'll take 15% off of that that series of training plans. It's a great series of training plans. I've had some really good results with it. I've got a bunch of people doing it right now, doing building climbing plans, and they are doing very nicely. They're coming along very, very nicely. All right. So, that being said, the housekeeping is essentially done, and we're going to get on to our topic of the day, which is riding in the rain. All right. So, riding in the rain can be a fairly difficult topic to cover, and that's because there are quite a few different considerations to take into account, especially if your weather is variable or if you're not really familiar with the procedures and the safety and everything else of riding out in the wet. One of the first things you need to take into account, however, and one of the things that's probably the most important thing in terms of rider safety, and in fact, rider comfort is the main deal here. Riding in the rain, riding in the snow, riding in the cold, as long as you're comfortable, you can ride in pretty much anything. But comfort is indeed the key. And the first thing you need to think about here is how you're going to dress when you're going out and thinking of basically driving or riding right into a into a rainstorm or something like that. As a side note, if it's thunderstorms or thunder showers, for the love of God, please do not just go out and decide to ride in that. It's not a good thing, okay? But I digress a little bit. So, dressing. Before you head out to ride, if you know that it's raining or you know that it's going to rain, take a few simple precautions and you'll be able to be relatively comfortable while you're out riding. And the biggest one of those things is to keep your core dry. And your core is basically defined as your torso, your abdomen, whatever your extremities, your limbs, your arms, legs, and head attach to would be considered your core. Now, that may mean wearing a jacket, that may mean wearing a gilet or something like that that's waterproof or water resistant. And in fact, that's a very, very good idea. But in many cases, you may fight to keep your core dry. But that ideally, that would be the best thing that you can do. And the reason being, because once your core gets wet, it takes a lot of extra energy. Your body needs a lot of extra energy to keep that part of your body warm, especially in cooler temperatures or with a nice cool rain. So if you're riding in the 50s, low 60s, and it's raining on you, you can become chilled down pretty, pretty quickly. So you need to be very careful, and you need to work to keep that core dry. So like I said, a gilet or a wind vest that's water-resistant, or a jacket that's water-resistant, however breathable. Breathability is important, as I'll get to in a little bit. And that's going to be the key to keeping that core warm and dry, and that will increase your comfort significantly. Now, as a secondary objective, you want to try and keep the rest of you as warm as possible. Dry is very unlikely, but warm is definitely a good thing. And along those lines, you'll want to try and protect your feet with either toe covers, shoe covers, or even if you have like a waterproof sock or something like that, that can go a long way towards keeping your feet dry and try and warm at least, and possibly dry. I've known in the rain a few riders who will actually go out of their way and put plastic bags on their feet to keep the foot dry, especially if they really have a sort of a penchant for cold feet. And nobody likes cold, wet, numb feet. That's not a good thing. And it can happen very quickly, especially with the airflow over your highly vented road shoes, which most of you are probably using. All right, so protect your feet and try to keep them warm, if not dry. Wool socks are really, really seem to be pretty good for this. I find the synthetics don't keep you very warm. At least the wool socks, even though they may trap moisture and trap water, do tend to keep you a little bit warmer, and that's that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, in terms of arms and legs, there's a few things you can do for arms and legs that'll help keep you a little bit warmer. And one for arms, if you're wearing a jacket, you should be pretty well off and you should be okay. All right, but a lot of times you may not have that option. You may want to peel off the jacket for reasons we'll get to very shortly. But arms are more or less least concern, at least the way I tend to explain it to people, because your arms are doing very little. Your arms are basically there to just support your upper body on the bike. What you really want to focus on is keeping your legs, your knees, nice and warm if possible. And if not nice and warm, or if not dry, dry would be great, but it's very hard to do. If not dry, nice and warm. So along that those lines, you want to avoid fabrics that hold water for your like arm and leg warmers. You'll want something that will dry fairly quickly when you when it stops raining on you. And the reason being because the more water that's held next to your skin, the more energy your body will have to produce in terms of heat to keep you warm, and that's never a good thing for your legs. So if you're able to choose an arm warmer, leg warmer that doesn't hold a lot of water, something that doesn't have a fleece backing or anything like that is probably your best option. Anything that's windproof or even water resistant or wind resistant is going to be even better because that will repel a lot of the water that will come off of your bike and off your wheels and off your off your buddy's wheels. So that's something to definitely keep in mind. So what you need to consider for your eyes are probably the most important thing to protect next to your core. That could be debatable as well. I mean, if your core temperature drops, you basically just have to find yourself a warm gas station. If you get something in your eye that scratches your cornea or something like that, you could be in for a much bigger world of hurt. So, debatably, it could be either or. However, going back to protecting your eyes, I always advise all of you to wear glasses of some sort, whether they are specific riding glasses, shooting glasses, hunting glasses, whatever you prefer and whatever works for you. However, you should probably be using a clear lens on a rainy day, when particularly when it's a little overcast. I know some people prefer a rose-tinted lens or a persimmon lens or something like that, just to add a little additional contrast, and that's fine. I would avoid a polarized lens though. And the reason being because with a polarized lens and heavy cloud cover, you tend to have a pretty dark lens, and that doesn't usually work out well for you when you're trying to ride in the rain. All right. And it's worth noting that particularly in wet conditions, you may have trouble with fogging, you may have trouble with water on the glasses. In some cases, your glasses might actually be completely useless. You may not even be able to see a damn thing out of them. And it's funnily enough, that's exactly what happened on a recent ride here in the Northeast, Pennsylvania area. And one of the things you may be forced to do is to pull those glasses off. All right. One of the things that I found that works really well, and it looks a little stupid, but works very well, is to keep those glasses right side up, tuck them into the bottommost helmet vent. The very bottom helmet vents on your helmet, and keep them low over your eyes. They almost act a little bit like a shield for water that's splashing off the road in front of you. And keeping your head down a little bit will help that too, so you have to use your eyes to actually look up the road. But either way, the use of glasses is going to be pretty could be pretty useful, could be pretty miserable. Just depends on what kind of day you're having. All right. Along the lines of protecting your eyes and keeping those glasses sort of low over your face on your helmet is the idea of using a cycling cap. Now, many people have told me they don't like wearing a cap underneath their helmet. They don't, it bunches up or it pokes them or something else or whatever. There's one or two times in cycling where I personally believe that a cycling cap is almost mandatory apparel, and rain is absolutely one of them. If you need to pull that brim down over your eyes, that is an absolute godsend, especially when your glasses become useless because they're fogged up, they're spattered with rain and mud and grit. The brim of the hat will help to keep some of the stuff out of your eyes, and it will also help to keep water from running down your forehead, out through your helmet, down your forehead, and into your eyes. And We all know that if we get sweat in our eyes, and which it happens quite frequently, that while we ride in the rain, we sweat, then we get wet, it runs in our eyes, it stings, and suddenly we are blinking like crazy, looking like we're stoned or high on crystal meth or something like that, trying to clear our eyes out. So that's something we don't want to do. So just, you know what, suck it up, get yourself a good cycling cap, and throw it on there before your rides. So, going through all that dressing stuff, the bottom line here is you want to try and keep as much of you warm first and dry second. All right. The key points to keep dry and safe would be your core and your eyes. All right. Fingers need a little special mention here because gloves will tend to soak up water and will tend to get your fingers cold, especially if you're cruising along at any decent speed. You may even want to leave gloves at home. Sure, it'll be a little slippery, but you may want to just leave those gloves at home because it will end up probably warmer on your hands, and that's always a good thing. You don't want numb fingers when you're trying to descend, especially in the wet. And lastly, embrication deserves a little bit of a special mention here. Embro does a decent job, not necessarily of keeping you warm, but as providing a little bit of a barrier for water to sort of stream off of your legs, or I've even known a few people to Embro their arms. I can't imagine it's pleasant when you wipe your nose on your forearm, but hey, to each their own. If they like that, that's up to them. But something very nice to keep in mind, embrocation could be a very good alternative to a leg warmer or something like that. It will it give you the it will keep your muscles a little bit warm through the use of the capsaicin and other herbals that are in the Embro, and it definitely will provide some kind of moisture barrier for your legs, and try to keep some of that water off, get it to stream off so it doesn't suck the heat right out of your legs. So, that being said, we've talked about a little bit of dressing, and we've talked about protecting your core, talked about protecting your eyes, protecting your fingers. The bottom line here is that when you start riding, you do not want to be overheated. You need to be a little bit chilly, all right? Not cold, not shivering, a little bit chilly as you start that ride. And I'll explain to you why in just a couple minutes. All right, so you've dressed up, you've got your Embro on, and you're all squared away to go. And you're hitting the road, and you're a few minutes out, and suddenly you're realizing you're really hot. You're really, really hot. It's not that warm out, but you're really, really overheating, especially in that jacket. So you stop and you peel off that jacket. Okay. What's going on and why is this a bad thing? Well, here's the problem. When it's raining, that means that the humidity, the relative humidity in the air, is very high. Okay? We're not dealing with dry air, we're dealing with very humid air. In very humid air, the body has a very difficult time using sweat to cool itself. So it's been said a couple of times by a number of different people, the coldest they've ever been has been when it's, or the, I should take that back. The worst days they've ever had are when it's cold and humid. All right? The hottest days they've ever had are when it's cold and humid. All right? Why is that the case? Well, because if your body cannot cool itself, even though water is kind of cool, all right, and it's streaming over you, it doesn't, conductive heat doesn't work very, very well. There isn't enough surface area for conductive heat to really take a lot of body heat away, especially if you are high intensity exercise level efforts. Okay, you're in zone four, zone five efforts, that whatever water is falling on you and falling off your body is not going to take enough heat away to keep your body cool down. The body sweats, and that sweat evaporates because evaporative cooling is significantly more efficient and you can lose a lot of heat very quickly that way. However, that doesn't work when it's very humid. All right, so that's why you need to start a ride chilly. Now, bear in mind, I said chilly, not cold. Being cold is not going to be a good thing, but being chilly will be a good thing. And along those same lines, you want to you want to avoid having a non-breathable jacket or something else like that on, because that will just cause you to overheat. And once you overheat, you are in trouble, my friends. That's not a good thing. Okay, it's it could you could be riding in 60 degrees, 65 degrees with 100% humidity, and a jacket on, and it could be simulating a ride in 100 degree heat. Okay, so don't overheat in the cold or in the rain just because, oh well, it's chilly, it's rainy, I can't over. You can, and you can very easily. So take very, very special precaution to not do that. Okay, now. That little PSA is out of the way. Let's get down to some riding skills and some things that you will need to keep in mind while you're riding in the wet in order to make things safer and more enjoyable so that you're actually willing to get out there in the rain. Those of you in the Northeast, you haven't had a choice. So let's get to it. Anyway, while you're riding, there's always a problem with spray from a wheel. The guy in front of you is always kicking up what they call a rooster tail, and if you look at it from the side, it's that rooster tail-shaped fan of water or dirt or whatever that is always somehow ending up in your face. Well, it's very simple to avoid that. If you're on the wheel of the guy in front of you, simply slide yourself left or right a couple of inches so that rooster tail is hitting you in the shoulder, not hitting you in the face. It's real simple. You'll still catch the benefit of the draft, okay? But you're not going to end up with a face full of nasty, gross water and cow poop and whatever else might be on the road. So that's always that's always appreciated if you can you cannot have a cow poop sandwich, all right? So go ahead and just slide to the left or right, maybe an inch or two. It doesn't take much, all right? Other safety considerations. Be very, very wary of leaves and other road debris, especially in the spring. You have those little thready kind of seedling pods or whatever they are that come from maple trees, various other trees. Be very aware of leaves or other road debris. That road debris is almost always extremely slippery and extremely dangerous. So pick your lines very carefully to avoid things like that. And along with things to avoid, painted lines. You've seen, if you've been watching the Giro, many times when these riders are crossing painted lines, they hit the deck. And the reason being because those painted lines in the wet are extremely slippery. The paint that is used is sort of a solid, like a shell paint that has reflective flecks in it. And if you look at it very carefully, it's almost like a polished stripe laid down on the road. And the traction offered on those white lines is absolutely abysmal. So do not, if you can avoid it, do not take one of those, take a corner and cross over those lines. If you can hit those lines at a 90-degree angle or avoid turning or leaning the bike over them, so much the better. It'll significantly reduce the chances of crashing on any kind of corners, descents, or anything like that. All right. Now, one of the special things to mention, obviously, if you're riding in the wet, you're going to need extra braking distance. Okay? And your brakes will probably not work quite as well. But one trick that you can use in the wet is to feather your brakes. If you can see there's a descent coming up, or you know there's a descent coming up, simply feathering the brakes just enough to wipe the water away from the rims will give you a quote, a sort of a dry rim. All right, it won't be completely dry, obviously, but it will be definitely better than a rim that is completely awash in liquid. So even if it's just a moment or two, it may take one or two revolutions to scrub that excess water off the brakes, but it certainly will increase your braking power, and that in turn will decrease the braking distance necessary to bring you to a stop. Although, to be perfectly honest with you, and this should be obvious, but however, a lot of people don't seem to realize it, in the wet, increase the distance you allow to brake completely. Your brakes won't work as well in the wet as they do in the dry. And furthermore, you don't have the same traction in the wet as you do in the dry, which should be common sense, but again, it's amazing how many times people forget it and go plowing into the back of one of their buddies in the ride group because they didn't give enough extra distance to brake with. Okay? So feather the brakes to wipe water off the rims. You'll increase the braking power, and also leave yourself additional braking distance, additional few additional feet to come to a stop, both because your tire's traction and your braking power has re been reduced because of that wet weather. Okay. One more thing here that to help you handle things a little better. Most people love to descend, they love to go fast. Quick tips to keep in mind: if you're descending in the wet, be careful leaning the bike over significantly. You may not have the same traction. Like I just commented with braking, you may not have the same traction in the wet as you do in the dry. However, to increase your traction and increase the chances that you will have sufficient traction, just let a few PSI out of your tires. The wider footprint will provide more friction, will provide less chance of that wheel from sliding out from underneath you. So if you are doing a climb and descent heavy ride in the wet, just let about 5 PSI out of your tires, and you'll likely have not only a more comfortable ride, but also a safer ride. And the reason being is because, again, you have that bigger tire contact patch, and you can rely on that to grip the road a little bit better than a single narrow little strip of rubber that you would with a regularly inflated tire. All right. And let's see. Along the lines of trying to keep yourself comfortable, trying to keep yourself safe, we need to make a special comment on nutritional choices in the wet. The problem with riding in the wet, as we've talked about in the past segment and somewhat in this segment, is that as your body gets wet, it tends to cool down. All right? Especially if your core gets wet. Now, your body actually has to work to keep itself warm. And it does that by burning calories, burning fat, burning carbohydrates, burning proteins. it does that by burning those and producing heat. That's how your body stays warm. Now, it just goes to say, it just common sense would follow that if it's cold outside, your body has to burn more calories. All right? It has to burn more calories to stay at the proper temperature. So, what happens if you're eating the same amount of calories, but you're riding in 55 degrees and rainy, your core is wet, your body's cold, you're shivering a little bit, you're not doing a very hilly ride, you're doing a lot of fast, flat stuff, so there's a lot of wind blowing over you. Your body is cooling very quickly via evaporative cooling, by evaporation. What happens? You're going to bonk. You're going to blow up. If you're not taking in excess calories during that kind of ride, you're going to have a bad day. All right? And I don't mean to sound like, a game show. You're going to have a bad day. I'm a radio host or anything like that. It's just the reality of things. Okay? Plan to take in a few extra calories during a cooler or rainy ride in order to maintain that caloric balance and prevent a significant caloric deficit while you're out on the road. All right, carbs are really good. They burn quickly. Your body likes them for fuel and can keep you warm a little bit like that. All right, and also another trick to keep yourself warm on those rides so that you're not blowing through your food reserves is simply get a hold of some bottles and put some warm fluid in them. All right. A lot of people I know during the winter love a little bit of tea, a green tea or black tea mix with a little bit of honey, maybe some salt. It's something nice to keep your body warm. Because remember, even if it's a warm beverage, as it goes into your body and into your stomach and into your intestines, your body will take the heat out of that, and your body will help keep itself warm in that respect. Now, that also holds true though too. If you're drinking an iced beverage, a very icy cold beverage, and on a hot day, it'll help keep you cool. And I've gone over that in previous posts on the website, but it's worth noting. If it's a cool, rainy day, you may not want to throw ice in your water bottles, so just keep that in mind. All right. So now we've gone over a few things to consider before you hit the road, and we've gone over a few things to consider to keep yourself nice and safe while you're on the road. And some of the biggest ones there to recap: you want to lower your tire pressure so you have better traction, allow yourself increased braking distance, and feather those brakes to wipe the water off of them, and be very, very careful in choosing your lines, especially if you're descending. You want to avoid the painted lines, and you want to avoid debris in the road because it doesn't have the same traction and it doesn't offer the same traction as the road. And it's a quick way to find yourself on the pavement and sliding, and that's not a good place to be. So now you've gone through your pre-ride check, you've done your ride, you're a little bit cool, you're tired. What happens when you get back? What do you do? Well, We'll go over that in just a moment. All right, you've gotten back from your cold, wet, rainy ride. You're feeling pretty good about yourself because you followed rule number 9 to the letter. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with rule number 9, check out the Illuminati's rules, and you'll realize that you are a badass, period, if you're out in those kind of conditions. But after you get back, what do you do? Now, the number one thing, and most racers will know this, a lot of beginners and new riders, club riders, and century and charity event riders will not understand this. Get out of your wet, nasty clothes, especially your shorts. That chamois acts almost like a diaper in sucking up water, and sucking up water and leaving it next to your skin for hours and hours and hours on end is going to do very bad things, okay, to your skin. That's a really good way to end up with saddle sores or boils or anything else like that. So you want to try and avoid doing that if possible. Make sure you have a change of clothes. Make sure you have something you can change into. If you have nothing to change into and you have no choice, find yourself a nice quiet place, take those shorts off, wring them out, get them as dry as you can get them, and try and get home and change as soon as you can. All right, that is a really, really important point to note, is to try and dry off, get out of your clothes. And along with getting out of your clothes, you probably want to get down, dry off, and warm up, because the longer you stay wet, the colder you're going to be. And let me be perfectly honest with you, sitting around in a wet kit and being cold and miserable for any time longer than you have to is not good. All right, it's miserable, it's not fun, it doesn't make you tough, it makes you stupid. Don't do it, all right? Get yourself dried off, get yourself warmed up really quickly. It's going to be really beneficial to you. You'll recover better, you'll feel better, there'll be less chance you get sick or anything like that, all right? The next thing is to get food in quickly. Now, assuming you actually put in a few extra calories to maintain your body temperature, you may stick with the same regular recovery meal. You may want to put in a few extra calories if you haven't been trying to feed yourself throughout the entire ride, and keep yourself nice and warm by getting food in and getting calories in. So including that, along with that food, try to make it a hot meal, something that can really your body can really take the heat out of and use it to warm your core back up. And the same goes with warm liquids. Have yourself have the ubiquitous post-ride cup of coffee if you so desire and you're interested in that. You can go ahead and do that, and that's not a bad thing by any manner of means. A nice cup of warm tea will definitely help, a bowl of oatmeal, something that's going to put some warmth into your core, into your stomach, into your intestines, and make you feel, it also help just in general help you feel better. So consider trying to eat a nice, healthy, warm meal with some warm fluid immediately after you get in from a cold, wet ride like that. All right. Now, in terms of your in terms of your equipment, in terms of your gear, in terms of your kit, in terms of your bike, what do you do after a wet, rainy, nasty, sloppy ride? Well, number one thing, please, for the love of God, dry out your shoes. Okay. Dry out your shoes, take the insoles out, and the old trick is to stuff them with newspaper, which will absorb the moisture out of the shoe very nicely. But please, 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 take the insoles out of your shoes and dry them out. There's nothing more disgusting than coming back to your cycling shoes after a couple days after a wet ride and realizing that, man, they smell like your grandmother's basement. And that's not a good thing for your skin either, but it's also just pretty disgusting in general. So go ahead and dry out your shoes, and use the moisture the moisture trick. Yeah, the moisture trick is a great one. Use the newspaper trick to soak moisture out of the fabric and out of the sole and things like that. You can also purchase, and I think several people have told me this, the boot dryers that skiers use are a very wonderful tool for cycling shoes to dry them out very quickly, especially if you're doing something like a stage race and you have a wet stage or anything like that. You may find that those are a worthwhile, beneficial investment, or they may be a beneficial investment if you're riding somewhere like the Pacific Northwest, where it's raining more often than not, and you want to go out with the same shoes several times in a row. All right, so the same goes for your kit. Get your kit in the wash very quickly, particularly in the wet. Lots of crap gets thrown up off the roads that can stain various high-quality materials and various materials these days. So you want to get that stuff washed out of there as quickly as you possibly can in order to preserve the quality of your racing kit or your riding kit or your jersey, shorts, whatever you whatever you call it, what have you. In terms of your bike, post-rain rides are great times to really spend some time doing some TLC on your bike. Giving it a full cleaning would be a great thing because, again, there's so much crap that comes off of the roads during a wet ride like this. It's a great time to clean out your cassette sprockets, clean your chain rings, give your chain a good deep cleaning and fresh lubing. Check your bearings specifically to make sure that they are not waterlogged full of water and all nasty. That's definitely a good thing to spend a few minutes doing. Check your crank bearings, check your headset bearings, wheel bearings, things like that. Additionally, you may want to consider taking a look at your brake pads after a wet ride because there's often grit and other crap embedded in them that was caught on the brake track because of the water. That grit and those little cinders and stones and things like that will act as sandpaper to basically shred your rims. And God forbid you're using carbon rims, that's going to really shorten the lifespan of that of those rims. So make sure you wipe down carefully if you do nothing else. But if you have the time and the mechanical ability, it's a perfect time to go through and do yourself a deep cleaning on your bike. So that being said, we do a little recap right after this. All right, folks, recapping and finishing up here. Before you even get out onto the road, consider how you're dressing and make sure you're dressing to keep your core warm and you're dressing to try and keep yourself warm at least and dry at best, okay? Keep your core warm and dry is going to go a long way to making a comfortable and safe ride for you. Otherwise, you're going to want to protect your eyes first and foremost, aside from your core. While you're riding, be very careful. Pick your lines very carefully. And stay off painted surfaces. Stay off of wet leaves and other debris. And be aware that you don't have the same traction in the wet as you do in the dry, which means scrub some speed using feathering on your brakes. Scrub the water off your brake rims by feathering them. And, of course, give yourself extra distance. And making sure that you're eating extra calories and trying to keep yourself warm, trying not to overheat, is going to be very beneficial to you as well. And once you're done with that ride, make sure you get a nice warm meal in you as quickly as you can to try and raise that core temperature again. Consider cleaning your bike and washing your bike, your kit, and everything as quickly as possible after a ride. And try not to sit around in that damp, nasty pair of shorts that you just rode in for a few hours. That'll go a long way to making sure that you have a safe and happy and to be perfectly honest, pretty normal ride. All right, that's the goal here, is to try and give you the absolute most beneficial, happiest, safest, and simplest ride that you can have in wet, nasty conditions. All right. As always, folks, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank all of you for going to iTunes and rating this podcast. And I want to thank all of you for the comments, the questions, and the submissions that you've sent to me. If you have questions, feel free to email me. Head over to the website tailwind-coaching.com, and you can find a number of ways to get a hold of me, whether it's here, whether it's on Facebook at the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page, whether it's on Twitter, whether it is on Blueberry, whether it's on Stitcher, Podbean, Strava, or any of the other ways of contacting me. Head over to the website, look on the upper right-hand side, and there's a follow Coach Rob Payne, which has almost a dozen ways to get a hold of me. So, again, thanks for listening. Ride safe, ride happy, stay dry, get strong, and be well. Keep that rubber side down, keep it, and keep yourself safe, especially in the wet weather. I'll talk to you soon.